In the name of Jesus, Father, we take authority over all of those spirits that we have named, and we bind them up, and we command them to get into the cage. And in the name of Jesus, there's a whistling. You have no authority. You have no power to enforce those spirits in Jesus' name. And right now, we break your powers and bind them up. Still whistling. Hear it? I can hear it. Can you hear it?
Yeah. Pull it away from you a little bit. See, like that.
Try it like that. Is that better? That's better. If he gets it. Okay. And they'll go into the cage, and we clear everybody's mind to hear in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
So today, we're going to talk about occult bondage. And I want you to think, as we're teaching on this, about occult bondage, but at the same time, still whistling.
You're probably hearing a reverb. We're not hearing it.
Yeah, but it's going on the tape when it does this. Yeah. And so the occult bondage comes down our family lines. Amen? And so... What we're going to do is, I'm going to teach you on it so that you understand it, and then you will be able to see it in your families and bind it, and in yourselves. Amen? Amen. Now, Paul suffered many strong spiritual attacks when he went out to minister, because he went out into an area that the people were under the powers of darkness. They did not know who Jesus was, but they knew who the devil was. And they spent their lives appeasing the powers of darkness. And that's why, if you look over in India, you will see in India that they go into their temples and they bring food and they place the food in the temples. And if you disturb the food or try to take the food, what would happen is they would kill you. Next to each Indian temple is like a little lake that they have made, and if you go in and steal the food, what would happen is they would bind you up and throw you in the lake for you to be killed. Many years ago, I can no longer remember the man's name, but I met him personally and spent time with him downstate many times. And he was a young man. His father was the imam of the temple, the priest, the Hindu priest of the temple. And so they were taught from early childhood never to touch the food. And one night he went into the temple and he stood in front of the idols. He balled his fist up and he said, "I want to know if you're really God. I want to know." And he said, "I'm going to defy you. And if you're not really God, if you're really God, you'll have to kill me, because I'm going to defile you." So he went over and ate the food that was placed there for the idol. And of course, in India, they have rats are holy. And all of the animals are holy. And so the food that they put out there disappeared because the rats eat it, right? And so he ate the food, and his dad discovered him. And by the Indian law, they had to kill him. So they put a rope around his neck and threw him down into that lake. And he was down there several days. And he describes a man coming and standing next to him and unchaining him and taking him out of the lake. And so he went all over the world back in those days, and he told his testimony. You see, American people, they don't understand the power of idolatry. And they don't understand that right now as we talk to you, that idolatry has taken over our nation. It's taken over our churches. I mean, idolatry can go under the guise of many things. It can go under the guise of putting a person up like an idol, like Elvis Presley and Oprah Winfrey, and many Christians will do that to preachers. And see, that is a big sin. A preacher is only a vessel of God, no better than you. Just because they study the Word and know the Word or can do things in the Spirit, never let anybody put you up. Because if you do, God will take you down. And that's just part of the law of the Spirit of Christianity. And so, we have gone under idolatry. You can now begin to see the lines so clearly parting. You couldn't see it as clearly until Obama got elected. The reason that you can see it is because now he's beginning to make a stand for his faith. See, he came into office telling Americans he was a Christian. And, of course, we all knew that he belonged to a radical church that was communist, who believed in a revolutionary movement so that they could get into power, the communist. And, of course, whenever you tried to tell people that, because he said, I'm a Christian, they just believed him. But that is not the way it operates at all. Because he's a Christian doesn't mean he's a believer. And it turns out that he's not. There's lots of evidence that he's an Arab, that he has 80% Arab blood in him and not and only 20% black blood and just a little white blood. And but the truth is, it's not according to what his blood is. It's according to what his belief system is. And his belief system tells us that that he's not a believer, that he's more closely affiliated with the Muslims. Amen? Now, some of the big Muslim leaders have proclaimed him Messiah. And they believe that. Farrakhan believes that he is the Messiah. And he says when he speaks, he's the Messiah. So there's a lot of people that have placed him in the position that he's going to save us, he's going to help us. And what he's doing is just the opposite, destroying our financial systems, our laws, and our nation. And even people seeing that still stand and worship him. So when we pray about that, we take authority over the false worship, the Antichrist, and then we take authority also over the spell. And the spell is very powerful. The spell comes from witchcraft. And the Bible shows that they have power. Lots of power, as a matter of fact. And so the problem that the church has had is that it has always believed that the devil had power, but we don't, Christians. Even believers believe that. If somebody gets healed, well, the devil did that. If something good happens, it's the devil that did that. if something bad happens, oh, God did that, like a hurricane demolishing New Orleans. Oh, God did that. His judgment came upon those people and la, la, la. Well, you see, the truth is God has a lot of power and more power than the devil. But his people must believe that. You must believe it. In order for the power to work for you, you have to believe it. And so part of the problem with the occult is the belief system of the church. And church people have never been free in our country. Never. None of them, unfortunately. Some of them have had enough of Jesus to continue to cling on to him. I remember when I went to the Pentecostal church, the little women would stand up and say, "Brother so-and-so, would you pray for me that I can make it on through till Jesus comes? The devil has been on my table all week long." And the prayer would be, "Yes, Sister so-and-so, Jesus, help Sister so-and-so to make it on through until you come." I've heard it many times. And see, there was no warfare fought for anybody because they didn't know how, you see. And then when you take into the point that much infiltration has happened within the Christian churches in America over the years, they're part of the system. I ministered to a young lady several years ago, and her mom and her dad were, "If you want to talk now, son, you go to the back and sit on the back row." And her mom and dad were molesting her, and they were Assembly of God preachers. And I heard her on the phone not once but many times accusing both of them and doing just that. But there are many that have infiltrated the pulpits of our country that are not of God. And until you realize that the wolves are standing behind many of the pulpits, can you even understand what's happening in our country? Amen? And so the devil calls his people the wise men. Just like on the international level, these people that are trying to take the world over, they are called the wise men. That's what they call themselves. And they're active occultists. They're active Satan worshipers. And they know their powers. But what might surprise you is that they know the Word of God better than most Christians. And the reason that they know the Word of God is they are trying to let the Word of God come true, the prophecies, with them as the head of the Word of God. Now, whenever you hear these things, God lets them know what they need to know. So they might know part of the Word, but they do not know God's plan. But they know enough of God's plan to know that there will be a new world order and that there will be an Antichrist at the head of that, and that people will follow the Antichrist with one mind, and that the people in charge of that system are going to be people that are occultists and witches and warlocks and wizards. They know that. And they practice blood sacrifices in their ritualisms, both human, and they practice blood sacrifices with animals. Now, I remember one time the Lord spoke to me. I had read something about Hitler. And he said, "You know what all that was about, don't you?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "All of those Jews were blood sacrifices." And see, in order to get the world, they have to have sacrifices. Bush would get on the television and he would say, we need more sacrifices. We need more sacrifices. Well, he wasn't talking to the American people. He was talking to the people that followed him. We need more sacrifices. And so, who are the sacrifices of this day so far? And there'll be many more. The sacrifice of the babies. They say that 50 million, I say that there are probably 100 or 200 million. There are a lot more babies that have been sacrificed and we'll know when we get to heaven. Those are blood sacrifices for their agendas to go forth. Sacrifices are old people that when they go to the hospital, instead of treating them, they kill them. And they do. They just give them shots and they go on to the wild blue yonder. And they are proposing these things in their legislature in Washington, D.C., as I speak to you. In fact, I think it's already passed through one of those bills, trillion-dollar bills that they passed. So those are sacrifices. Where are some of the other sacrifices? They send our boys into the Army and the Marine, and they send them over to foreign lands. And they say, you are fighting terrorists. Well, the truth of it is, the terrorists are people that belong to their group. And the boys are over there fighting for oil. They're fighting for territory. They're fighting for control over the spiritual realms of that area. Now, why are they fighting for the spiritual realms of that area? They're fighting because of the fact that the spiritual realms of that area is the spirits of the First World Order. It's the same spirits of the Second World Order. It's the same spirits that moved the Third World Order. And now they are trying to move the Fourth World Order. And so these spirits, Americans went over there to capture the spirits. And what they did is, see, Saddam was one of the people that was working to capture the spirits. And he dubbed himself as Nebuchadnezzar number two. And one day, a windstorm, a sandstorm, blew up in the desert. And when it blew up, it blew away the gates to Babylon. He found them. And he began to rebuild Babylon, the temples and the city of Babylon, and dedicate the old gods. I call it, they are summoning the old gods back to rebuild the new world order. And so when he called them back, he looked exactly like Nebuchadnezzar I. When they took old coins and placed his picture next to him, he looks like his twin. So he dubbed himself as Nebuchadnezzar II. And he put his name on all of the bricks over there to Babylon and made coins up of Nebuchadnezzar I on one side, Nebuchadnezzar II on the other side. And he thought that he was going to be the end-time Antichrist New World Order ruler. But no, America had another plan. And the plan was that the people that are in charge in high positions in our nation, they are people that also think that they are going to rule the New World Order. They are from the 13 bloodlines. And there are 13 bloodlines in the world that believe that they are people from the lines of Jesus called the Da Vinci Code. That's real. They believe that. And they believe that Jesus married Mary Magdalene, and that they're from that bloodline, and that they are supposed to rule in the end times. And those people are just a few to let you know. Would be the Bush family, Rockefeller, Rothschild, Kissinger, people along that line. And Bundy family, all of the elitist family, the people that have made the fortunes of the last century. And they think that they belong, that they are the rulers of the world, and that they are supposed to bring in the New World Order. And so what they do is they believe that one of the members of their family will take over the world and be the Antichrist. It might shock you to know that Queen Elizabeth is one of the 13 family lines, and that she's not truly a Brit, that her part of the family came from Germany. And Diane used to say that they are not human. That's what Diana said. Diana was a true Brit and belonged to the lineage of the crowned Britain. The ones that are there are usurpers, and they're not of the true crown. But they are from the 13 families to rule the world in the end times. Some people think that Prince William is going to be the Antichrist. And the reason that they believe that is because the Queen and that family believe that they are part of the lineage of David. And that, you know, the Bible says Antichrist is going to come from the line of David, the line of David. Well, we've already seen the Messiah come from David's line. And it's proved in Luke, and it's proved in the Bible that Jesus was from the line of David. And so it's also proved in Matthew. So there's no way I can't see that with the wars and the things that have happened over the centuries, that they could actually prove all the way back to that time somebody born of that line. So they have to reconstruct a line. And I believe that's the Da Vinci line. That's where that comes in. But Prince William, there's a lot of indication that he could be part of that or could be the Antichrist. I believe that he'll be 33 in 212. But I've read that the Queen and that group are actually Jews, and that you have to be a Jew in order to be the Antichrist. That's what the Word says. So whoever and whatever line he comes from, he's on the scene today, and he's getting ready to make an appearance. Obama might not be. A lot of people think that he is. He would definitely be a forerunner, a test, so to speak, to see how to manipulate this personage into the minds of the people that are left alive. A lot of people are going to die in the days ahead. And they're going to die because these 13 families believe that they are going to build a new world, a new paradise, and they believe that they are going to rule the world. And this new paradise that they're going to build, they say that they can rule real well over 500 million people and hardly any more. So they have designated to kill a lot of people on the face of the earth. And these people, they write it in their stones. There's a stone up in Elberton, Georgia, that they've put there that they wrote new Ten Commandments, and one of the new commandments is that only 500, I think it's 550 million people survive. They have plans. And when you start hearing about the bird flu and the swine flu and level 7 or 6, that they're going to do martial law. They already tried it down in Mexico with the scare down there. And they lock you down. You can't come out of your house. They go door to door. And they say that in a level 6 that they will force you to take the shot. Force you. Well, there's death in the shot. Believe it. And so they have plans. They have atomic plans to go into certain nations and blow them up. They have plans. And their plans at this point are coming true. The Christian church is stagnated with a bunch of whores that are still reaching out to get the money of the people instead of souls. And God said it was going to be like this. But in the book of Revelation, there's a group of people that cry out for God, how much longer, Lord? And the Bible describes them as the martyrs. There's going to be people that are martyred for their faith in this hour of time. And so, as I keep telling our people, that we need to keep close to the Lord and pray for our strength and our family constantly. It's the most important thing. And so, in Genesis, that we would be able to die if they come, okay? That's what you got to pray for. And what I tell people is to look at the issue and see that they've got 7 years of rulership, according to the Bible. And then it's over. Jesus returns and takes over the world. If we make the right choice, we have eternity with the Lord. And there's no comparison. Amen? And so in Genesis 41:8, it says, "And it came to pass in the morning that his spirit was troubled, and he sent and called for all of the magicians of Egypt and all of the wise men thereof. And the Pharaoh told them his dream, but there was none that could interpret them unto the Pharaoh." Now, one thing that you have to understand is, as I mentioned earlier, they do not understand the Word of God. They know the Word of God, and they know elements in the Word of God. They only know what God lets them to know, to fulfill His Word, not their Word. Always remember that. And so, who are they? They're the magicians. They're the astrologers. The wise men are the wizards. They're these people that divine information from the devil. And what this shows you very clearly is that the devil does not know the future. He does not know. They cannot tell the king that in that scripture at all, can they? And if they knew, they would tell him. And then in Exodus 7:11, it says, "Then the Pharaoh, who called the wise men and the sorcerers, and now the magicians of Egypt, they also did in like matter with the enchantments." And so these people, what they do is they pretend that they know the future. They use their little objects, their little symbols. They come and they speak words over a person or a nation. Now, when a word is spoken, words are spiritual. And words either come from the devil or they come from God. And this is why you have to be very careful about where you go to church, There's a lot of false prophets running around calling themselves prophets and prophetess. Oh, I got a word for you, sister. And everybody's ears cock up and they speak a word over you and it's not from God. And you accept that word. What happens is that word comes to you and tries to enforce it into your life. It sends devils to you to enforce that into your life. So this is why you have to be very careful about prophecy and people prophesying over you. And you need to break it. Anybody that's prophesied over you, just say, I take authority and break it in the name of Jesus. I only want the word of God. Now, God can give you a word, but it's not so common, believe me. It's not a common thing. I've been a Christian 35 years, and I guess I've had about 4 words from the Lord from somebody else in all of those years. But I always bind. If somebody comes at me with a word, I start binding and pleading the blood over me, and they can't give a word. We had a man come in this church with a pastor from a local church. And they were into the laughing spirit and all of that craziness. And he gave a word to the pastor. And then the pastor turned to him and said, give a word to Pastor Holliday. And I said, oh, thank you for your blood, God. I give you glory for your blood. Praise the name of Jesus for your blood. And he closed his eyes and he stood there and finally opened his eyes and said, I have nothing for her. That church fell apart. The pastor that he gave the word to was out at Hemming Park trying to pick up men. So you put your protection on at all times. If they come into the church, the devil is used to sending witches and wizards into churches. We've had some to come into here. But everyone that says, Lord, Lord, shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. And you test the spirits to see if they be of God. That's your protection. And if they come in, you test the spirits, you plead the blood over you. You don't just receive. We had a witch in here several months ago, a little old lady. Acted like a little Pentecostal lady dancing all around. She said she came in here to help me. She lived right around the corner. And I moved from over there over to here because I couldn't hear what she was saying to everybody. And she was telling this story and that story and another story. And then she came up suddenly and sat by me. And she took me by the hand and I said, thank you for your blood, Jesus. Thank you. And then she said, oh, you're sick. And I didn't say a word. She said, you wake up in the middle of the night and you're shaking all over. Well, you don't have to worry because I'm here now. And I just listened to her. And so then she went out. And see, God will always show you somebody else things too. And he showed Pastor Dennis and he came over and said, Pastor, the Lord told me that woman was a witch. So we took authority over her. And we said, Lord, if you're not sending that person to this place, we bind that person away in the name of Jesus. And bind the words over me and anybody else in here. She never came back. And we've had witches to come in here. But if you don't have a pastor that has eyes to see and don't know to hear the voice of the Lord, they'll come right into the churches and they'll work powers over the people and nobody even knows that they're working. Wise men, wise women. Amen. And then in 1 Kings 3, verse 12, it says, behold, I have done according to the word. Lo, I have given thee wise and and understanding hearts, so that there was none like thee. Before thee, neither after thee, shall any come like unto thee. And so one of the parts of your spiritual warfare is to understand that you're special to God. And the reason that you're special to God is because of His anointing, not yours. And you're special to Him to protect you, to give you eyes to see, to teach you all things. And so you need to begin to stand up in the position that He's called you. No matter what the devil is saying to your body, to your flesh, to your mind, to your spirit, believe what the Word of God says. Now, let's just go over into the realms of healing just for a moment. If you have something wrong with you, and you've been prayed for, and you've been prayed for, and you've been prayed for, and you're standing as best you can, you have to understand that God wants to increase your faith too. He doesn't want you dependent on me, Pastor Dennis, or anybody else. He wants you dependent on the Holy Ghost. And you have to stand sometimes and say, Satan, I don't care how many symptoms you have on me. I'm standing on the Word of God that by His stripes I'm healed. And you stand on the Word, and you stand on the Word, and you confess that Word over that situation until it comes from your mind and drops down in your heart, and you truly do believe it. It's when you truly do believe that Word that it'll come true for you. And once it drops in your heart, it becomes easy for you too, because it'll just happen. I have to do it all the time. Amen. And so then, so your word, as we've been talking about, their word has power from the demonic forces. Your word has power from God. And His word is powerful. And that's why we tell you to read the Word, and study the Word, and learn some of the Word, so that you can quote the Word when you have need of it. Amen? And you'll see the Word will begin to work for you. You see, when a witch gives a word, they believe it's going to happen. So what they do, the way they work a power, is they want you to hear or see that they've done something. And then they expect you to react in fear. That's why a voodooist or a witch will write a letter, make a phone call, put an object out in front of your church, will do something so that you know they're working. And then you say, oh my God, they're working, and you get fear. No, you don't get fear. You take charge. And you understand that your words and the Word of God counsels their word. And your word and the Word of God is superior to their word. So you take the little thing that they put out there, you put it in a bag, you bind it up, and you throw it away. Or you send it back. You send the spirits back. Throw the article away. But you let them know, oh, I saw what you did, but look what you get. And they know, Christians that can do that, they don't usually mess with much. But I had a man that was number two in witchcraft in the country down in Casadega. He was going to inherit that place, and God called him out, and he told me, he said, before we work any powers on anyone, we come and scan them. We look at them. And we see if they have open doors. And we see if our powers will work. And if our powers will work, then we throw the curse. If our powers don't work, we go back to where we came from, because, he said, if we release the powers on that person and they have no open doors and they know how to protect themselves, he said, it will come back on us, and witches say tenfold. The Bible says sevenfold. When an unclean spirit is released, it returns back sevenfold. Amen? And so, what you have to know is that the Bible's true. And if it says that they release a spirit and it comes and it can't do anything to you because all of your doors are closed and you're standing under the blood of Jesus and it goes back, they have to suffer the same thing that they sent to you seven times worse. That's why we say send them back. And once they find out that you're wise and you do know those things, they'll leave you alone. Now, another group might start up on you until they find out, but the one that was before will leave you alone. And some of them are dumb. They've learned these powers from books and from American covens and teachers from America that don't know much. Africans, they're wise. They know better to work a power against someone like me anyway. And so in Esther 1:13 it says, then the king said to the wise men, which knew the times, for so was the king's manner toward all that knew the law and the judgment. So they keep up with things. They know the times and the seasons. And when you watch these modern Satanists that are in control of the world and in control of them, look. Go in the back, son. Go sit on the back bench. Hey. Right back there. Take him by the hand. Yeah, because you're disturbing me. And so you have to understand that they understand the times and the seasons, the moons, the high days. What do Christians do on high days? They play. They buy little ornaments for their houses and Christmas trees and things like that. Halloween, they play. What do witches do? They go and work their powers against their enemies. And they work, you see? And so you have to understand that this stuff is real, and they understand far more than we do. And so, there you have it. They know the times and the seasons. They know how to work with numbers, numerologies, certain days they work. And if you know a few things, you can tell the Christians that are wizards, because they work with numerology too. Whenever 8-8-8, that day came, guess who was working? The Christians. They were having big so-called revival meetings out at Rick Joyner's with Todd Bentley. 8-0-8-0-8. 7-0-7-0-7. What were they doing? They were up in Nashville having a big stadium meeting with people that have the Kundalini spirits. Now, when you see them doing this, look at me. They got the Kundalini spirit. When they go back and forth like this, that's Kundalini. Amen? And so you can watch the dates that things happen when the occultists are working. Those Christians are working. You can see Halloween harvest parties during the time that witches are out there doing their things. Instead of Christians coming and praying for protection of their children and their church, they're out there dipping for apples and May comes, they're up underneath the maypole. I did it as a kid. I remember it. The maypole dance, they call it, which is an absolute witchcraft power. And the maypole is the phallus symbol, you see. And the nuns had us all do it. A lot of those nuns are witches, lesbians too. And so just because they say they're Christians don't mean that they are. And you better watch and you better ask God to show you, because they come in. Todd and I sat in a church where a guy came in and he was raised as a pimp by a pimp. His family kicked him out at some early age. And he supposedly found the Lord. But when he walked in that church, he had a great big diamond pendulum made like the Star of David. It was 2 or 3 inches big, man. He had a ring that was about 2 inches big of a Star of David. He had chains like a pimp. Looked like a pimp. Actually looked like a pimp. And so Todd, it was when the laughing thing first started, and Todd sat out there and just was laughing as he was ministering with all of his might. And they just thought the Holy Ghost was on him, but he was laughing at that pimp. And I was sitting up there, and I was pleading the blood of Jesus over me and Todd. Well, the time came for him to minister. And when he ministered, he put his hand up to the person and give him a private prophecy, and a power would jump out of his hand into the person, and I could see it. And so he never, ever came, and he gave a prophecy to everyone in the church but me and Todd. And he worked until 2:30 in the morning. Then he came up, and he sat down, and he was just a roll of sweat. And he said, "Sister, would you pray for me?" He said, I'm just absolutely whipped. Well, see, what he wanted to do was to transfer that spirit to me. So the devil's real wise. So you got to be wise, too. And I said, "Sure, I'll pray for you." And I said, "Thank you for your blood, God. Thank you for your blood. We give you glory for your blood." And I laid my hand on him. And I said, "Lord, I transfer your spirit to him." He sunks back and stays back for quite a while. But he rode up to that church in a big limousine and took the pastor all around town in the limousine, had a woman with him that had tattoos going all up the side of her legs, looked just like his, what do they call those women? Pimps. Huh? His hoe. Yeah, his hoe. And she was, a funny thing about all of that is she was sitting out there. She was sitting out there at the end, and he was giving prophecies if you brought this much money or if you brought that much money. And he had this little computer, she did, sitting at a table. I'm sitting up about as far as from George Ann, which is 3 or 4 feet away, and up on the platform, and she was sitting down on the floor. And when they would give her the check, she would put it in this computer. And so I said, "Lord, they must have a lot of money, because I've been sitting here watching those little buttons pop a long time." And the Lord opened up my eyes so that I could see down. That little thing was about 1 inch long and 3 inches long, wide and three, about like that. You've seen those computers. And I looked, and they had $7,000 in that little computer. There wasn't 60 people in the church. And so then he said, "Folks, I got to have three more. Who else wants a prophecy? Come on up. He got 9,000, and he sat down and he told the pastor, he said, quote, he said, "Well, I got 9,000. He said, "There were 10,000 in here, but I got 9,000. So you go in there, and those devils know who's got money and who doesn't. And if you don't have a dime, they ain't going to waste one moment prophesying over you. Amen? So be careful about people saying words over you. Words can take control of your life, and when they take control of your life, they make them come true. And if the devil is prophesying over you, you don't want his plan. You want God's plan. Amen? Simple, isn't it? Now, I'm almost finished with this. In Ezekiel 12, I think it's 9. And moreover, because the preacher was wise, he still taught the people the knowledge. Yea, he gave good heed and sought out and set in order many proverbs. And so one of the things that you have to look for is a wise man or woman of God, somebody that truly does know God, not somebody that can quote scriptures. The devil can quote scriptures. Find somebody that personally knows God that can reach him for your problems. Now, we have that over here all the time. We have people that go to other churches, give their times, give their tithes, and come running over here when they got a problem because they know that person cannot help them. But yet they go and give them their resources and their time. And we sit over here with an empty church because of that, you see. And a lot of them will come over and get deliverance and go right back over there and get repossessed. And then they come running back. And I've got two in mind that when they come in that door next time, they are not going to go through any deliverance here. I won't do it. I'm not going to play nursemaid to someone else's congregation. Amen? Now, in Matthew 2:1, it says, now, when Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea, days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men, and they were from the east to Jerusalem, saying, where is he that is born, the king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and have come to worship him. So, the people that claim to be of God couldn't see that Jesus was born. They did not have the signs. They did not have the Word of God. Only Ananias, only Anna and Zacharias saw when they brought Jesus to the temple, because they had been in the temple praying to see him when the Messiah came. And when he came, God showed him to him. He was a little baby, and they knew him. And so it was astrologers, people looking at the stars, that saw Jesus. And the Bible says that they went by Herod, talked to Herod, and said, where is the king born? Herod had enough sense to call the people that were in charge of the word, which was the Pharisees and the Sadducees of his day. So where does the Bible, Bible say that the king's going to be born? Bethlehem. They knew. Not one of them got up and went to see. They just gave the information. The king reacted on it and killed all the babies 2 years under. But before the king could get to Jesus, God gave the wise men a dream. The Bible says that when they saw him, they knelt and worshiped him. They knew he was more than a little baby in a manger. And only God could have extended that knowledge to them. And when they saw him, they had a dream. Go back a different way because Herod wants to kill the baby. And they did. And so God can talk to people that are not Christians, when Christians are not listening like they are today. Amen? But it was wise men, astrologers, that he talked to. But when they saw the baby, they became believers. Amen? In Matthew 23, wherefore, behold, I sent unto you prophets and wise men and scribes, and some of them ye shall kill, crucify, and some ye shall scourge in your synagogues and persecute them in city to city. And so if you are a true man or a woman of God, it doesn't mean that they're going to speak well of you. It doesn't mean that they're going to accept you. Jesus said, look at what they did to me. If they did this to me, what will they do to you? So don't expect the glory if you're real. The glory goes to the crazies that are taking people up to the third heaven, dancing, Estasia dancing, and all of these crazy things. Their churches are packed out. Ours is the one that's not. So understand, there's a persecution that comes along with being real. And when somebody persecutes you, don't take the hurt into your heart. Just stand up and start dancing around and leaping and saying, glory to God, like the disciples did. You counted me worthy to suffer for the cross of Jesus. That's what they did in the book of Acts when they persecuted him because of the name of Jesus, over in the fourth chapter of Acts. Count yourself worthy, that he counted you worthy, that you were able to be persecuted for the cause of Christ. That's a little different, isn't it? So keep that in your heart. They come and slander your name like they do mine. They come and they have nothing nice to say about me. And you know what? I say, so what? I did an article a couple of weeks ago. This website's been putting my articles up on their website, but they didn't like that one. It was a little rough, a little tough. And they said, well, Pat, you know, you're so well known for the Bentley stuff that you did. This might hurt your reputation. And I wrote back and said, sir, I don't care if anything hurts my reputation. This is what God gave me. This is what I'm publishing. That's the way it goes. He didn't put it up, but I put it out anyway. They come and get you. They come and get you. Amen. And then you got to really depend on Jesus that he will help you to get through it. Whatever happens. 1 Corinthians 1:10. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring nothing the understanding of the prudent. And so that's why when we talk on the phone, we bind them from hearing our conversations, from recording our conversations, from reporting our conversations. And we stand on the phone, and what we do is we talk freely. And they may hear us talking about Jesus or something else. They might not even hear us talking. And if they think that you're talking Jesus, they get off the phone. They don't want to hear it. Anyway. So these are things that are happening in our time. And your family, they're coming down, these curses, these occult curses are coming down your family lines, and they're capturing them. And only Jesus can free them, because their minds are bound. The spells are on them. A lifetime of spells of their own sins, and a lifetime of spells of their moms and daddies and grandpas and all of those sins. That's what we're dealing with here today. Spells on our children. Spells and hexes and curses coming from wizards and witches over our families and over from our own government. I mean, our own government have plans to come and arrest American citizens. They say so in the legislation that they recently put out. And the churches are just as sound asleep as the people in the world. Some of you have people that go to churches, and you know the pastor doesn't know anything about this. Want to get run out of the church? Go take him some of these tapes and let him listen. You know what he'll do? look, honey, you just go on and hit the road. We don't need you here. Because he's in charge of those souls by Satan. And if he loses those souls to Jesus, he's going to suffer. Let me tell you, when I got saved, I couldn't find any church in Jacksonville that would take me. And I didn't even understand what it was at the time. But now I know it was because I was real. And it was because I knew a little bit politically. And those devils fought me from the moment I got saved right up until the day that I'm sitting here. They fight me because I tell people the truth and I get a few people awakened. Not as many as I'd like to. I just wish when I was a little baby Christian I could have found a ministry like this. I walked through being tormented by devils for about 6 months. Nobody knew how to cast them out. Nobody would sit and talk to me about anything. They were too busy having a party with Jesus. And let me tell you something. I had to learn what I know from Jesus. There was nobody like me to tell you some of these things. Nobody knew anything. They didn't know. I mean, you know, I won't mention the name, but that minister that teaches on marriage, I was under that ministry. And all it teaches is women to submit, women to submit, women to submit to the men, women to submit to the men. And back in those days, there was some woman that wrote a book on Total Woman, and it was demonic. And it was telling the Christian women to take all of their clothes off and meet their husbands at the door, wrapped up in cellophane, and attack them to give their husbands a thrill. And I went down to the bookstore, and I told the lady at the bookstore, who was a special friend of that person, I said, listen, that is not of God. I said, that's the way I was before I got saved. And I said, I'm telling you, that is not of God. And God's going to make y'all answer. You know what the answer was to that? They started putting the book up underneath the desk, and if somebody asked for it, they'd slip it in a bag and sell it after I made a stand. That pastor came down to her and said, quote, you tell Pat Holiday that the elders on the beach want to meet with her and her husband. And I said, you tell that person that I refuse to meet with him and the elders. I'm the one that did this. They want to talk to me. I'll be happy to meet with all of them. But my husband is not a believer, and he's not sitting in a meeting with a bunch of nuts accusing me of anything because he'll crawl them. I'm telling you. And I never met with them. And from that moment on, my name was a piece of, I think Paul used to refer to it as dung. And I don't care. Jesus is real to me, always has been since I met him. And if everybody in town turns against me, which most of them have, who cares? I know in whom I believe and serve, and not one of them going to get me a key into the kingdom of heaven. That's the truth. So just get connected to Jesus, and somebody tells you to do something nasty, don't do it. Don't do it. I had a guy to call me on the phone weeping. He said, can I come to your house? And I said, yeah, to talk to me about that Total Woman book. He came to my house, and he was just weeping. He said, I sat in a ministry the other day, and they were teaching Christian women to do that. And he said, I tried to tell them it wasn't of God, but they wouldn't listen. He said, my heart is broken for the church. You know how long ago that was? In the 70s. You think that what you're looking at is a brand new act? No, it's been going on ever since I got born again. I didn't know what it was about. I came out of the politics. I came from a place where I used to go to Washington to vote. I could go to Democrat and Republican inaugurations. My husband took my daughter up to Carter's inauguration, and I wouldn't go. And he walked into his ball, because my husband looks just like John Wayne, and I bought him a 10-gallon hat and boots, dingy boots. He walked in, and they all were taking his picture, thinking he was John Wayne. And so then, and John Wayne had a daughter about my daughter's age, and when he got in, he went over to the phone and called his friend and said, I told you I'd get in. I'm in. And then he turned to the people, the photographers, and said, I guess you know that you made a mistake by now. They let him stay. But back in those days, we went to Republicans. I've got cite things, papers and things from the presidents. We went over to the Capitol in Tallahassee. Senators and congressmen lifted me up. Come join the body of Christ, and I was totally rejected and didn't know why. Had no idea. Opened my house. I used to have parties down at Pontevedra, invited 300 to 400 politicians and people. Opened up my house as a Christian, said, all the Christians on the beach come. And the phones are going day and night. Don't go to that house. You might die there. She's a witch. She'll kill you if you go there. Christians. That person we were talking about, I had started going to that person's church. I invited his band to come. He parked his car 3 blocks away from my house. Came to the house. And I had invited the band from that church to my house to the party. We had pigs with apples in there. Oh, you know, you just can't imagine. And the doorbell rang, and there was a band standing out. They said, we were riding down A1A, and the Lord told us that he had a gig here for us. They didn't know me. I didn't know them. They came in, and while people at that party were outside getting baptized in the pool, there were a lot of Catholics there because the charismatics, although the Catholic was charismatic, didn't ever invite him to anything. And all those Catholics went and got water baptized in my pool. In fact, that person that died not long ago got baptized in my pool. The pastor that your friend came over here to, baptized in my pool. The Christians, they didn't come. And the Catholics were the only ones that came. And this one Protestant woman came, and she said, I was sitting in my home, and the Lord spoke to me and said, go to Pat Holliday's house. Said, I'll be there tonight. And she showed up. She said, but Pat, she said, I must have got 15 calls. Don't go there. It's dangerous. That's Christianity today for you. They can't discern a real Christian from a fake Christian. And if you're not a real Christian, they can't even take a time to lead you to Jesus. I mean, you know, when the day of judgment comes, it's going to be a terrible time in the throne of Jesus. They think they're going to come switching and showing him their best steps they learned in church. He told me many years ago, he said, they think they're going to dance their way into the kingdom. I got news for you. It is not going to happen. Jesus told me that. I told Julie 15 years ago. Ask her. It is not going to happen. They can go and dance, and they can swoon, and they can do anything they want to. And if I see it, I'll tell it and uncover whatever God tells me to. But my salvation does not depend on not one of them, because I know that if it had, I would have been lost, because not one of them came after me and cared for my soul or my family. Not one. Not one. And you know, it always has been like that in Jacksonville for me. I would go out on the road and evangelize, and people would fight over who would be able to keep me in their house. I come back home, and I was like Miss Pariah. I didn't know what was going on. God had to teach me all those things. Prophets are not known in their hometown. And they rejected me. God opened the door for others to receive me. Like yesterday, I was up on the computer, and I came across two articles, and it said, look at this website. Said one of the articles had 90,000 hits. The other one had, I believe it was, do you remember, 76 or something like that? Okay, guess whose articles that was? Mine. That was mine. So, I'm going to stop this.